Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guests this week are a couple who run speed dating events across Dublin. Here to demystify this increasingly popular way of meeting, it's Sam and Owen from Your Friend, My Friend. It's lovely to catch up with you both, and we're recording in person. I got to go to one of your events last week, which was fascinating. I said to you, I think at the time, like, it's really well run, and it just feels kind of very organic. And I think that's, you know, what a lot of people would be wondering is just what these events are like.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people coming in are so nervous, especially I think a lot of people going in go on their own and they're really nervous, but I think a little bit of liquid courage ahead. And then a lot of people meet others. A lot of ladies will meet other girls and the guys meet other guys and they get to know each other. And I've seen so many, even the girls exchange numbers to get together or after the events, they go out together. So it's nice. You build a bit of a community. So it's not just about meeting potential match. It's about meeting new friends and people in the area. So it's great.
Definitely.
Yeah, the people that come early definitely gravitate to each other and end up sparking up conversations. So I think the biggest fear for people coming to an event by themselves is where's their landing spot? Where am I going to go when I go in? And we've definitely learned event on event that that's one of the most important things is everyone that comes through the door, give them a bit of a landing spot, introduce them to people who have arrived around the same time. And then once they're into that kind of a conversational flow with somebody, the evening is up and running for them and the nerves just dissipate. It's a nice relaxed environment then after that. Well, it does get rowdy with all the chatting with the dates, but after that, people are much more relaxed.
Yeah. I got chatting to someone straight away, actually, and that was one of the first things I noticed, which was funny, was all the men and all the women gravitate to each other. And your events are for primarily people looking to meet those of the opposite gender. And so there was a certain amount of irony there. All the blokes just go to drink pints with
so
each
funny.
Other.
Even at the singles nights that we do when people first come in, a lot of times it's like men on one side, women on the other. It's like a little school dance. You know, but all the boys on, standing on one wall and all the girls. And we have to say to them, like, you're here to meet people, like, chat, get to know each other, you know. And that's why a lot of times Owen or we have a few other people that are their hosts to introduce people and get them chatting, because I think people they've forgotten almost how to chat with each other in bars or, you know, make conversations. And it's funny, a lot of times the women are the ones who end up going up to the guys and are much more confident, and the guys are a bit more nervous and they stand back a bit, and the women will come up to us and say, these guys need to pick it up, like, come talk to me. Bought a ticket to be, like, chatted up with. So. Yeah.
No, definitely, because that's something we've talked about on the show before, this stereotype of it's men that pursue women.
But, yeah.
You know, I think really there's a lot more, and maybe it's instead an expectation that women are more low-key about it. That maybe your pursuing is dressing up for the night, being available, smiling back, maintaining eye contact, making them feel comfortable or willing to approach you as much as it is who went up to who.
Yeah, well, women definitely seem to be a bit more business-like about it. You know, they're so organized. It's always the women that have to buy the tickets, like, straight out the gap. And they're like, okay, I have my ticket from a singles night, 3, 4, 5 weeks out, same as speed dating. So, like, they're involved with, they know, and I'm going, I want to meet as many men as possible, kind of a numbers game type thing. So they're approaching it with that mindset where the guys just, I know the guys' mindset, so they're just, they'll just turn up and just see what happens. Sure, if I bump into somebody, I'll bump into somebody. If we get chatting, we get chatting. But, you know, they don't have the same proactive mindset. That's what we've seen anyway so far, you know, for the most part.
There are definitely some guys that are coming there looking for relationships, maybe. And it's particularly maybe guys in their 40s. Or we recently did a speed dating night for people in their 40s and 50s. And it was great. It was, you could definitely see the people in that age range were looking for partners, and they've kind of been through shit in their lives, and they've maybe had partners or lost partners in past, and, you know, they know exactly what they want and what they're looking for. And so it was really nice chatting with them and hearing their stories. Or a lot of them had kids in their 20s, 30s that might have been to one of our events before. So it was great getting to know that age group as well.
Yeah, I do kind of feel like you do have the best position in it, in a way that you get to watch all this unfold, you know?
We've gotten to know so many great people. and really gotten to know them, where they've come to a few events, we know what they're looking for. And so we've started doing a bit of matchmaking here and there, because sometimes you might meet someone at one event that, you know what, I actually have somebody that's perfect for you that came to a separate event, and we'll just send them an email and ask them if they're interested in meeting up. And then it's kind of up to them to move forward and make the dates and, yeah, get on with it.
Fair. And I definitely want to hear more about it. But for now, let's get on to your dating stories. So which of you wants to go first?
I can jump in. So I actually don't have too much dating experience, but one story of mine is, so I'm originally from Vancouver, and I used to go to a gym there. It's a very fancy gym in Vancouver. And I'm really bad at placing people. Like, I'll see a face and I can't remember where I've seen that face. And so one of my classes, you had to partner up, and one of the guys asked me to be a partner. I was like, yeah, sure. And as we were partnering up and working out, I kept thinking, I know him. I know him from somewhere. Where do I know him from? And then at the end of our session, I went up to him. I was like, do I know you from somewhere? I'm like, do you work at the Whole Foods? And Whole Foods is like a fancy grocery store in Vancouver. And he just kind of laughed and said, no, you don't. And so I just let it go. After I just was on the treadmill doing a bit of a walk, and I turned on a TV show on Netflix, and I was watching it, and it was Riverdale. And as I was watching it, I completely facepalmed myself, because it was one of the guys in the TV show. And it's like, oh my God, I completely put my foot in the mouth by telling this actor who's really well known that he works at a grocery store. And so anyways, he was in a few of my classes after that, and he ended up pursuing me a bit. But at the time I was with Owen and wasn't interested, and just told him that. But I think Owen said to me a few times, I'm very bad at saying no to people, or even knowing when people are hitting on me. And I'm definitely a people pleaser. And so I'm very nice about saying no, or probably seem like I'm saying no, but yes. Or so
it wasn't a firm no.
May have been a couple arguments about this of I need to be more direct with people. And so anyways, in the end, obviously I didn't end up seeing him, or because Owen and I are together. But yeah, it was, I've learned to be more direct and say no a bit more.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm guessing he was thinking it was going somewhere, and maybe perceiving you coming up and chatting in the first place showing some kind of interest.
Yeah.
Good on you. Well, anyway, how did you feel about the competition?
It wasn't a jealousy thing whatsoever. It was...
You were going to say there was no competition.
It was more that it just kept happening. Like, it happened, well, at least two or three times. Mm. And I was like, well, what the hell is he... Like, then it just actually started to irritate me. And I was like, do I need to have a word with this guy? Because I know Sam, even at that point, it didn't roll as well as, you know, obviously. But she's not the firmest person with saying no, and wouldn't want to hurt anyone's feelings or kind of let them down. So I was like, you need to, if you say no, he needs to understand that it's no, it's a firm no. And like, that's pretty much the end of the road. So I'm like, you're obviously giving off some vibe that he keeps coming back. But it was a non-issue after that. I think he kind of got the message
Well, I think he ended up probably dating some supermodel, and I'm pretty sure he's married, baby. And so... No competition.
No, not anymore. Thank you.
Yeah, now you've got a baby of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know,
yeah.
Rival family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for yourself?
I suppose I predate the apps. I'm 41, so I never missed that. But like we were talking about earlier.
Missed is irrelevant. a lucky miss.
Yeah. No, definitely. That's definitely my mindset. But so I was seeing a girl for a summer way back in my 20s. And I was only seeing her for a couple of weeks, and ended up going to, she went to the Hinge for a day. I wanted me to come visit her. So I did. We were literally dating for maybe 3 or 4 weeks. So it was quite new. Anyway, went to the Hinge for a couple of hours. And I'm a very punctual person. And my plan in my head was, I was going to go there for a couple of hours, hang out, and then head back to Limerick. I was busy, I had things on. So it was fine anyway. And time came for me to leave, say it was 3 o'clock. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take off. And she's like, oh, will you just drive me to my friend's house? And I was like, oh yeah, okay, where is it? And it was like up towards the Cliffs of Moher. So anyway, into the car and drove up towards this house. She didn't know where the house was. And we drove around the Cliffs of Moher and the surrounding area for 45 to 60 minutes. And it drove me absolutely crazy. And I was like, where's the house? Like I want to go home. Like, I'm driving further away from home. So it just got, like, the tension just raised and raised and raised. I just kept looking for this house with her. So eventually, anyway, we couldn't find the house. I said, that's it. I'm not driving anymore. Big arguments. And not a word was spoken. Drove back to Lahinch. And she got out of the car. Still, no goodbye, no nothing. And that was that.
Never spoken again.
Wow.
You think you're still together? Do you have a secret girlfriend?
Oh, God, I don't think so. Pretty sure she's not still in Lahinch waiting for me, but... Yeah, that was, we both knew that was the end of the road.
Owen is very punctual, and I think 15 minutes late is on time. So it's definitely a something.
When I was six, my parents brought me to my first violin lesson, and I was supposed to go the year before that. Sorry, I was seven, I was supposed to go when I was six, but I seen them picking up my sister, who's a year older than me, from her piano lessons, and they always picked her up 5 or 10 minutes late. And I was like, no way. If you drop me off for my music lesson, you have to pick me up when I walk out the door. And this was all, I was like, you better be there. So I had my half an hour music lesson, walked down the stairs, out into the car park, instantly didn't see the car. So I ran around the corner where there's a few other cars parked, and I remember distinctly, and my heart was racing. And I just panicked straight away. My parents were gone, they weren't there. So I know the direction home where we lived was probably about four miles away. And I just started walking, crying and walking with a tiny little violin. My parents arrived then, so they say, like a couple of minutes later, they said, we just missed it. So they went up, no sign, we went up to the teacher, like, oh, he left. And so they eventually, they looked everywhere, couldn't find me, and then drove out the road. And I had gotten like about a mile down the road when they picked me up. So yeah, I've had this thing about...
Definitely some abandonment.
Yeah, issues. There's some stuff there anyway.
Yeah, sometimes you get abandoned and sometimes you walk into the distance with your tiny violin.
That was it. And it was only years later I thought, like, so you were driving home. So you kind of gave up. Or you were hoping that I was on the road home. So that was, that was my day story.
There you go. You were like, you know what? These are the stories for me. I don't need to hear about Hollywood. Don't need to hear about Riverdale and what it's like to pretend to be 17 when you're in your
30s. Exactly. This was you. Yeah.
Lovely. And how did you guys meet?
So we met at, Vancouver's very famous late bar called the Roxy. It's a bit of a dive bar, I'd say. And
live music.
And... Yeah. It's great fun. And so I went in there with one of my girlfriends. And I was kind of done for the night. I think it was about 2 a.m. or something. And so I was on water at that point. I was exhausted. And so I was standing up on a high-top table, kind of on the edge of the dance floor. And some guy came up to me and, like, tapped me on the shoulder and said, want to dance? And I looked at him and I said, absolutely not. And then he kind of sulked and walked away. And then about 5 minutes later, Sweet Caroline came on. And he came back over and put his arms around me and started jumping around with me, holding me, and I started screaming at him, if you put me down, I'll give you my number. And then he dropped me to the ground, and then I gave him my number.
Hang on, I didn't drop you, like, I put you down on your feet.
Yeah,
I threw you on the floor.
Drop me very quickly.
I put you down on your feet safely.
Yes, placed you. Yeah. So I gave him my number. We actually didn't go
on. I love that you, even in this, when you're doing boundaries, because you have to, it's still not a no. Here's my contact details.
Yeah.
Couldn't say no. But then we didn't go on a date, actually, till a couple months later. This was around Christmas time, I think. And so we're both busy. You were coming home to Ireland. So things just didn't work out. And so then we didn't end up going on a date for a few months. And... yeah, once we...
Was that when you went to... Yeah, I went home for Christmas and we started dating in January, but that Christmas, were we texting a bit? Was that when you went to the Middle East?
Yes, yeah.
So Sam went to the Middle East. I was telling a few of our mates that I met this girl and we'd just been a couple of texts here and there, but nothing significant. And then I went out with them for 2 nights, and after the first night we were doing a text a few times, and then next thing, her WhatsApp, just her picture, everything gone. Like, just like... couldn't contact her, like WhatsApp was blocked. It was like she just vanished. And I was like, oh my God, did I say something or what's after happening here? It was just like she completely blocked me or something. I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So what actually happened was you were in the Middle East. And
that's what I
thought. There was some kind of terrorist thing, wasn't there?
No, it was I was flying in, and they have some ban on certain social media and WhatsApp and stuff, and so they just made me delete everything, and I can't say no, and obviously to authority definitely can't say no. So just deleted WhatsApp and any social media off my phone and everything, and so that was just a couple of days, and then when I ended up leaving, I ended up re-downloading everything.
So to be clear, you didn't try texting her, no?
It was just, there was nothing happening. It was, I think it was like one tick on WhatsApp or something, but it was...
No, but like actual text message. He didn't want to, it wasn't worth paying the €50 for a text. She liked me, but not that much.
I had this experience a little while ago in a previous job where two of my team came in and they were dating, and obviously it's something to navigate in a workplace for all of us apparently, and they'd had a big fight and they blocked each other on WhatsApp, and they were coming to me to tell me about this huge catastrophe, and it was one of those things of really feeling old where I was like, sorry, so you just text each other. I'm like, what is the actual issue? And they're like, I haven't been able to talk to her. And now, like, the first time I'll see her is at work. I'm like, just dropped her a message. Like, what are you on about?
It's not complicated.
Yeah, but maybe it is.
Maybe at any age. Well, for me, it was more that I just thought that you had just, for some reason...
You were taking the hint. That you didn't take when she said no the first time.
Yeah. And she's like, I have to fly to the Middle East and then delete you on WhatsApp for you to get the message.
Had to leave the country and go.
Yeah. Because even the night we met, you had to fly to Turkey, didn't you, the next morning?
No, Amsterdam. I think I flew to Amsterdam. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Turkey. It was Istanbul. I'm pretty sure it was Istanbul. Because I said, I texted her at 4 a.m. after I got a number. I was like... Come and go for brunch tomorrow. And she's like, I would.
I didn't respond to you for 2 days. And then when I responded to you, I said, sorry for the late message.
You were traveling. Yeah, you were in Turkey. I was like, that's a pretty elaborate excuse if that's what you're using to not go for brunch with somebody. But turned out to be true, I think.
Who knows?
So from January, I kind of just snowballed from there. Went on a date and then second date and kind of just went.
When he dives in, he dives in really quick. And this was, I think, a week, within the first week of us dating, or just starting to see each other, and it was, I think, a Sunday night or something, and he slept over the next morning. It was in my apartment the next morning. I was leaving for work, and he wasn't up yet, and I just said, just when you're leaving, close the door and it'll lock, and so I left for work, and my work's only about 5 minutes away, and so I forgot my lunch at home. I drove back home to grab my lunch, walk in to my apartment, assumed that this guy only met a few days, like, gone on dates for a couple days before, would have left my apartment 5 minutes after I left, came back in. Not only is Owen still in my apartment, but he's invited his best mate over and his best mate's dog, and they're having tea when I walk in. And it didn't even faze him. You would think he'd be embarrassed and be like, oh my God, I shouldn't be here, I'm so sorry. He just looked at me and goes, hey Sam, do you want a cup of tea? I was like, no, this is my apartment. What are you doing? I think I was just a bit shocked and taken aback. And I just said, no, I just forgot my lunch and grabbed my own lunch and left.
I was just letting you know what you're in for. I come in and take over.
He really did.
That's a real switch, though. Like, it just suddenly was your home.
Yeah.
And she's dropped by.
It wasn't a week. It definitely wasn't a week. But it was at least a couple of weeks. It was a short period of time that happened. But we lived really close to each other. We lived on Main Street.
I love the justification.
Look, her apartment was absolutely... So I was living with four other girls. So it was chaos. And it was just messy. And I was like, then I'm in this...
And I just needed to get away with them. So I immediately brought one of them back.
No, and he actually was living upstairs in the same building. So we just enjoyed a nice cup of tea in a nice apartment away from the chaos. That's all it was. So that was it, yeah.
See, you missed a trick. You should have just had Airbnb. You could have made money,
absolutely,
had none of the responsibility.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But no, it sounds sweet. And I do love this thing about relationships, how so often one person ends up being the keeper of the history. And I think it's very much you. Because even I see you, like, kind of consulting, even in the bits you disagree with, like, looking over, like, is this the right chapter?
The history definitely always seems to favour you in a lot of these stories, which, you know,
because
that has to be questioned as well.
That's why you keep the history. Yeah. That's why you take that wrong.
Yeah. Well, when we got married last year, she printed out some text messages that I sent her one night. We were both at Christmas parties in Vancouver, actually. And it went down pretty well.
For my wedding speech, instead of doing I love you so much or one of those types, I basically read out these insane text messages that he sent me when we first started dating. And just so your thought on, you know, whether I'd blocked you on all those social media in case you had said something to me. Owen is likely, when he's drunk, out with his mates to send some really random text messages. I think those ones in particular, it was, I think, before we'd actually even gone on a first date, I had messaged him and said, I actually don't know what you do for a living. And I said to him, if I would guess, I'd say maybe something as a caretaker in that field, because he seemed really caring and empathetic. And I meant like a massage therapist or physio, which I am, right, he is a physio. And he took that as a janitor.
Because a caretaker to me is that in primary school, we had a caretaker.
And there's nothing wrong with being a janitor, but Owen took that as, was telling him that he's a janitor. And he, all of a sudden, he went from just random text messages to, did you just call me a janitor? To lose my number. And then to never speak to me again. And then this was at 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. And I was in bed and sleeping. I saw these messages come in and I just looked at it and I said, he's going to regret this in the morning. I didn't even answer. I just put my phone back down. And then at 6 a.m. I got a message that says, ... I think I may have misunderstood what you were saying.
Came to my senses.
Yeah.
Well, even still, the snobbery on you.
Yeah. No, I have to hold my hand up on that one. Yeah. But it was heavy, heavy Christmas party drinking night. And well, I was actually drinking whiskey with my boss. And then
that's a risk.
Anyway, it was free bar. It was a free bar. Christmas, she came over and she was drinking.
Never good for an Irishman.
So she was drinking double vodka on the rocks. And I said, oh, you're drinking doubles. I was like, okay, I'll have a double Jameson. So I ended up just drinking double Jameson with Kerry. And that was that. Whiskey just, it's not good for
anything.
No. So when I came to my senses and I saw a thread, I was like, oh, no. So anyway, it was fine. It was funny. I navigated my way on that little
He's good at pickup. Squirming his way out of things. Mm. Yeah.
You got through it. I mean, some people argue that it's good to get the first fight out of the way.
Yeah. You have to. It was very important, actually. Very, very important to have those disagreements mm-hmm. and slip-ups, because...
There you go. So you were doing it for the strength of the unit.
I think long-term. Very, very long-term.
And so then the idea of doing the speed dating mm-hmm. events.
So it actually didn't start as a business idea. One of my girlfriends was moving here from Canada, and she's single. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? Like, I've been to speed dating in Vancouver before once with a few girlfriends of mine. And when my friend moved here, I said, she had been on a few apps. And I said, why don't we try doing speed dating here? You know, and we'll just donate the money to charity and just have just a fun evening. And that's where kind of the name came from. So it's your friend, my friend, because I'm always trying to, you know, hook up our friends. So it's, mm-hmm. I have a friend, you have a friend. When would we get them together? And so it just started from there a bit organically, and we had one event and everyone just had a great time. Like, as you saw from the previous event, it's just the buzz in the air is amazing and people are so lively and so excited to meet so many other people. And it just kind of grew from there. People asked us when the next event was and we had no answer for them because it wasn't supposed to be a business, but we realized there was a bit of a gap in the market for that. And people are just sick of the apps and they're sick of swiping, and you can just tell so much more from someone when you meet them in person, just, you know, about their character, the way they speak to you, how their mannerisms, just how they act with other people. So you get to know so much more in that couple minutes than, you know, looking at a photo of them and judging them immediately on the app. So, yeah, it's been going really well. People seem to be really enjoying the events. We've had quite a few people make matches and relationships be formed, and so I think overall it's been quite successful.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Yeah. It definitely seems it. You know, I went along with a certain amount of expectation mm-hmm. of what's it going to be organized yeah. like, you know, what is the buzz yeah. going to be yeah. like, you know, will it there be awkwardness in the yeah. room, and yeah. there really wasn't.
No.
Yeah, I think we're very lucky with the Hill Pub as a venue. It's just a lovely area. It's warm, it's cozy, mm-hmm. it's, you know, the lighting, everything about it is just that warm, cozy Irish pub. They love having us there. We love being there. So it's that just kind of fell into place organically really well. And I think that has been a big part of it as well. People love actually coming there. So we're doing the next speed dating event in Cooper's Corner, which is the pub in Kilmaine, in a couple of weeks. So very different type of pub, but it's still a really nice pub. It's only a year old, but we're even forwards actually. Mm-hmm. But it'll be yeah, the atmosphere. I'm curious to see what that is like, because it'll kind of tell us how much the venue of the Hill is bringing to the table. I think it's bringing a lot. So it'll be interesting to see now how it is.
I think you two can get some credit as well, because it would be an intimidating thing to walk in on. You know, I got to even see it of like people that weren't there for the speed dating. They're just there in the pub and they go to find a quiet table around the corner and they see everyone lined up with their name badges and their numbered tables. And you see them like visually recoil, go back to the bar.
Oh, you've crossed this imaginary line into, I'm a teaser here.
Yeah, and on that, right, there are a lot of people that end up not turning up. And I remember you saying there's a real gender element of that.
Yeah, the guys have definitely not shown up a lot more than girls. There was a couple of weeks ago where 9 guys didn't show up. It coincided with an Irish soccer match, which I think had a big hand to play in that. But even aside from that, yeah, I'd say it's probably like if 4 guys didn't turn up, 2 girls wouldn't turn up. I'd say that's kind of the ratio 2-1 type thing. And that's been fairly consistent, hasn't it?
Yeah, so we really learn from every event. So now we always sell a few extra guys' tickets. So then when we know now the guys aren't going to show up, so then it ends up being even with numbers. So actually this last event, we actually ended up having exact, I think we had 22 guys and 22 girls, but we had actually sold an additional 5 and then they just didn't show up. So each event we learn quite a bit from, and I don't know if it's guys get nervous or if it's, our events are held on Friday nights at speed dating, so maybe they just go for pints with the lads after work or meet friends and then say, I'm having a great time, and they just don't show up. So
I think that guys will change their plans at the drop of a hat if something else comes up, or maybe someone will have to work late, or I think the after work pints on a Friday is something. If you get home from work at 6 and you had 1 or 2 beers with your mates, if you're living with 3 or 4 guys or 2 guys, you know, it's probably an easy thing to do to just get settled there and go, I'll do that some other time.
Yeah, so and maybe use the excuse of that.
Well, totally, yeah, because it is daunting for a lot of people. And if there's any little excuse to get out of it, they'll jump on it. So we've learned a huge amount from each event, and we know how to roll with, you know, people not showing up. We expect it, so we don't expect the numbers to land evenly, and we know how to adjust and pivot around that. That event where there was 9 guys didn't show up, I was out in the main bar, out in the street, and I ended up actually getting 3 guys to just come in who were just randomly there. I was like, come on, and they had a brilliant time. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's the speed dating, and then the singles nights. We've done, I think, 3 singles nights so far, and we have another one coming up in December. And so those are quite different because that's much larger numbers. So we usually have about 200, 250 people at those. And so that's definitely much more of a, guys and girls have to more make the initiative to go up and chat with each other. And we have learned that people just love that speed dating aspect. So at these events, we try to have like mini speed dating at it. So you do get the chance to be introduced to other people. Mm. But then we like to have different entertainment, like the one coming up, we have the Irish impersonator, he's comedian impersonator Aidan Tierney there. And then we also have a mentalist who reads people's minds, which is interesting for people. He always blows everybody's mind.
And he's got some crazy little tricks he can do. I was chatting at the last event, and he's been basically at it his entire life since kind of a young teenager. Mm-hmm. And it's just something. He trained with Keith Barry, who'd be quite well known, obviously, in that field. And he just said it's like years and years and years of like perfecting these little tricks he has. But the finished product is amazing. Some of them are like, how did you do that?
And we're actually in the new year, we're also going to be hosting. We have a singles night we're going to be doing in Limerick as well. And then we're also doing an LGBTQ+ event. We're still trying to figure out how that'll work. And I don't think Owen and I are probably in the best place to be hosting that ourselves. So we're asking friends in the community to help us with that one, because I don't think we just don't know enough about what people want, or like how we do the speed dating, or should we have it, you know, should it be one event? Should it be multiple smaller events for different people, or how to do that? So we're still trying to figure that out, but we're hoping to start hosting that in March next year.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Just getting busier and busier.
I know.
But no, it's enjoyable. And I think we're getting better at managing everything. So actually the big thing we're talking with the other guys, we are going to contact Electric Picnic, and we really want to try and set up a few hours in some tent or somewhere at Electric Picnic where it's a kind of a singles, not necessarily an event, but apart from picking, that's for 2 or 3 hours. Then okay, if you're single, maybe come here and meet people, and we'll try and run like a big speed dating event. I think it would be brilliant. Yeah. I think it would add so much value, because a huge amount of single people would be added at your picnic.
Absolutely.
And you'd like to think they're all fairly like-minded, you know, musically and just artistically, and they're out there to have a good time and meet people. So and there's so many people that it could be a perfect opportunity to
run. And people are away from home, they've got this shared interest of music, so there may be actually that sort of lighter atmosphere.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it'll be. We're not going to structure it like we do a regular speed dating event. If we do it, we don't know if we could be shot down straight away. Go away. So hopefully we'll be able to run something like that, because that would really just, our reach then would be even bigger. You know, so
that's really exciting. And also the different demographics you'd reach. I've previously interviewed matchmaker Mairead Lochman, and a lot of her work is around supporting people, including a lot of farmers in the country, where it's like they're just very limited by how many people are around.
Yeah.
And you know, this is an event where like everyone just comes from all over.
Well, we were just approached last week by a bakery in Westport who have 17,000 followers on Instagram, so they have a big community. Yeah, so they want to, because a lot of people, they're getting this feedback, a lot of people want to move from Dublin to Mayo or to the West, but they don't want to move there single, because you know your chances of, I suppose, meeting somebody would be significantly diminished in a much more rural area. So they want to kind of run single events or speed dating or whatever. They're kind of just feeling out that space, and from people who can actually come from Dublin, stay overnight over there, meet people who are in the same boat, want to move, and potentially, you know, match up and then make the move out of Dublin. So that was really that was a really interesting conversation I had with her. So it just seems to be something that's becoming more prevalent everywhere now. You know, this appetite to get back to face-to-face, a bit more of conversation, real, seeing somebody and, you know, getting a feel for somebody, not just off a photograph.
Yeah, that is a lot of it. And like, if nothing else, the pure efficiency of it. Like, I'm not surprised that a lot of women are snapping up the tickets, because there can be that perhaps more practical approach to dating.
Yeah.
Among women a lot of the time, and that sort of planning ahead. You see the same with just people booking concert tickets.
Yeah.
The women book in advance far more than guys do. And so, yeah, that's probably a lot of it, that, you know, that last event, you get to sit opposite 22 new people.
It is, yeah. And for guys, you know, we've had guys who've been really, really shy and really struggled with the four-minute dates. And we've had guys like that have come to a couple, and you can actually see the improvement in their social skills and their communication skills, and it builds that bit of confidence. And then for guys who don't have issues there, but they've been stuck to the apps for so long, because that's the way society has kind of moved in a lot of ways, and COVID, of course, they've spoken to 20 ladies in the space of 2 hours, which, if they've just been hanging out with their mates and they've been single for a couple of years, that's probably more women they've spoken to one-to-one in years.
And
you know,
a lot of the guys will say they've gotten a lot more matches than they would have, you know, gotten swipes on Tinder or Hinge or whatever the apps are, just because these girls are actually getting to know them, even if it's 4 minutes, they get to see their personality, that they have a bit of banter about them, that, you know, and they see something attractive in them. And so they've all said that they've had a great time because they've actually made more matches in that one evening than they would have been a month on Tinder just swiping blankly.
Yeah, and it's someone you actually feel you know in a way that, like
exactly.
You said, a face on a phone is...
Mm-hmm. And then that first date also isn't as awkward because you've already met. You already, you know...
You've already done the potentially awkward date.
Exactly, yeah. So, and you already have something in common. You can talk about, you know, the event. So you already have something that you've both done together. So I think it just gives you that immediate sense of comfort.
Mm. Yeah, I'm very sold. This sounds great. And definitely a contrast to we were talking off air about, you know, the dating apps and you, Owen, although having not experienced them, you see it via your friends.
Oh, yeah. Just one, I won't go name the name. Yeah, one friend in particular, and just hours and hours and hours swiping in the evening, and it just went on for such a long time. And he lost his phone then one night out, and he was, we're all over the next morning, he was just at such a loose end because he didn't have the phone to comfort him and to, you know, and he was just like, it was crazy to see his reaction. And he just went off and bought a brand new phone to download the apps and then lay down on the couch. And once he was swiping away, not a word out of it. And I was like, oh my God.
But I think that's the word. A lot of it is comfort for people. Yeah. And it's that kind of maybe habitual social interaction that feels less risk.
Yeah.
But then is it also less reward?
Yeah.
You know, I'm reminded of, like, I used to work in a comedy club. And, you know, a lot of the time you'd get all kinds of flack. You know, it's a late night venue. People are drinking a lot. A lot of the time I would just put it down to, like, poor social skills. Because you'd see certain trends, like, let's say I was saying goodbye to people at the door, making sure everyone's gone and I can start closing up the venue. And, you know, the amount of times you'd be, like, doing the usual, like, goodbyes, have a good night. If it was couples and only one of them said goodbye back, it'd always be her. Nearly always. It's just little things like that where you're like, really? we just can't. All you have to do is repeat back to me. You're just like, oh, thanks. You parrot back my own words. That's all you need to do.
Is it alcohol playing a role in that, or is it just type thing?
Yeah, I think sometimes, I think it is a trend in, kind of long-term opposite gender couples, right? That there's this sort of offloading the social responsibility on her.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah. No, it's true. Actually, yeah.
I definitely offload social responsibility. I would say I'm much more of an introvert, and Owen's definitely extrovert, and he's very good at chatting with anybody and everyone. And so
there you go, you're balancing it out.
Yeah. Well, honestly, these events, after the events are done, I am socially drained. There's only so much I can be on and chat and, you know, talk to people, and I love it. But after about 2 hours, I'm done. I need to be silent. And so Owen is so good at chatting and talking to everybody and making people feel comfortable. I admire that in somebody because it is not me. And so...
being a physio, you're doing that every day. I think that's probably definitely to it. You're constantly, you know, asking questions, digging, and there are, you know, some people around pain, there has to be a good level of empathy. So I'd say definitely a skill. As a physio, you would just refine from being in the job for year after year. You know, I'm sure nurses are the same. You know, you just have to, anyone who's in that kind of, like, what you're training for as well, it's definitely something when you get into that position, you just get better and better and better at it, you know, the more you do it. So
definitely. And do you, I imagine if it was me, I would get home from an event like this and I would be dying to, like, analyze everything and talk everything through. Are you that one?
Yeah, well, we chat, definitely. We get a
cross-section
society and we get some, I love people watching, it's just unbelievable.
Oh, amazing. It's usually the next morning as I'm having my cup of tea, we'll sit down at the dinner table and I'll go through the match sheets. And, you know, we've met so many great people the night before, and there's always... we always have our favorites, of, you know, who we chatted with a bit more and we want them to match, or we thought would match with certain people. And sometimes they do. And sometimes we're completely shocked at who they end up matching with.
Yeah.
And it would have been somebody we never would have expected. And it's, so it's always so nice to see when we're kind of wrong about who somebody was attracted to or matched with. And, you know,
it's just great to see so many, everybody's so different. Mm-hmm. And you might think, oh, you were trying to match this and this, but, like, no, like, it's, you can be so wrong so often, and it's just you see the match, oh, that brand, no way. So it's, but again, because we're not privy to what the conversation was, or what that person is looking for, or what they saw in that person, you know. So it's all just, it's down to so many different things, but it is a great, social experiment, just watching people go from person to person. And some people thrive in it, other people then when they get the break they're exhausted, you know, you can just see that it's just taken too much out of them. So no, it's great, I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering if there's any kind of trends you see in how people score, right? So everyone has a scorecard, and then each person has a name and number that they can jot down, and then they give a score to.
Yeah, so they either say whether they're interested in them or not, and so if they both.
Oh, right, so
yes.
it's not like a rating. Okay.
No, it's literally yes or no.
Yes or no. Sometimes people write notes about the person, which I do also enjoy reading. And
I don't know why that... because there's probably... Well, that section is for the name, but, like, yeah.
No, there's also a note section because...
Well, what's the note section for then?
Just because some people might not want to say yes or no right on the spot. So they might just say, you know, guy with the curly hair, so they remember, and then after write a note. Or some girl, it's mainly the women who actually write notes, of course. And so they might write down what the guy's job was or something specific about them. And I notice a lot of women will take...
Salary.
Yeah, exactly. I will take a photo of their little scorecard before they hand it in to us. So I guess a lot of guys, it's so funny, when I email them the matches, and some guys might get 5 or 6 matches, and I'll send them the girls' names, their contact details, and a lot of guys will email me back and be like, can you actually tell me what table number they were sitting at? I can't remember who was who. They're like, I feel so bad saying that. And, you know, when you meet 22 people all in one night, it is hard to remember. So sometimes I'll just send them back what tables the girls are sitting at. And kind of, if I have any photos of room, so they know who was, and I'll just describe them and say, you know, it was this girl with the curly hair, whatever it was. But overall, I think, as we said, like, girls are so good at planning ahead, buying the tickets, the lads, they're always a bit last minute, but they always have a great time. But you do get a good amount of matches. And I think a lot of the women match with guys that normally they would have maybe swiped away from. I don't know which one it is.
Left,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, swipe left on. And just because they've actually gotten to know them. And a lot of times after the event's over, people end up staying around and actually just having mini dates after it and having a pint with people. Or since we're in Ranelagh for the Hill, like, they'll often go to McSorley's, have a bit of dance. And even at the singles night that we had last time in the summer at the Black Door, it's funny, we run that from about 7:30 to 11, but at about 10 o'clock we walked upstairs and there was a couple, probably in their 40s, absolutely shipped in the face off each other. It's like, well done.
Success.
But it was an absolute success.
You, like, just took a picture or put it in your scrapbook.
Exactly. Like, I was like, that makes me feel so good.
Oh, that is sweet.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the apps, a common thing that dating app people tell me about is that men and women often have quite different approaches. So mm-hmm. guys can be a lot more indiscriminate and then maybe choose nearly a second wave of, okay, who matched with me? Now what are my actual options?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's a certain realism. Maybe it's a scattergun approach, depending on your perspective. And then women will be a lot more kind of choosy at the first mm-hmm. thing. And maybe that's boundaries and, mm-hmm. you know, not wanting to give contacts options to someone who might be a creep. Is that something you see, like, in terms of men and women rating yes and no to different amounts of people?
So in terms of contact details, we allow people to either give their Instagram, email, or phone number, because I know phone number sometimes might be a bit too much for people to give out right away. And then in terms of matches, like, I'd say it's quite even. It's only been a couple of guys, actually, that have just a few times have said yes to every single woman. And then if any women match with them, then they can know, you know, exactly who said yes to them. But usually, I would say everyone is, they don't just say yes to everybody or no to everyone. I'd say it's quite evenly split on how many people.
I think most people are being fairly selective to someone that they genuinely think that they're...
That they want to go on a date.
And I think it is easier when you've actually got to chat to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, definitely. Like, there's no point saying yes to somebody if you haven't had, you know, a reasonably good conversation, mm-hmm. you know, and that there isn't some kind of common ground there, you know, pointless. So I don't think that's the case. I think most people are like, oh, okay, yeah, there could be something there.
I'd say on average people say yes to about 5 or 6 people, like, that they've gone little dates on. I did notice when we did the age group of people in their 40s and 50s, they were much more selective. And on average, the women may only say yes to 2 or 3 men. I think they just knew more what they were looking for. And, you know, I think at that event, a lot of the men actually came in from a lot further in areas that weren't...
The older event?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a guy drove over from Roscommon. And another guy drove down from Cavan. And a guy drove up from Tipperary. So we were like, And they jumped in the car and went home that night. So I suppose if they were done at 10 or half 10, you know, it's an hour and a half drive, they were more than willing to do that. So again, that just shows to the appetite that's out there for these type of events, that people are willing to come from that distance to potentially meet someone.
Yeah.
You know, so I just think it's... Well, the girl that came from News Talk, apparently there was 3 times the amount of speed dating events in London last year. So that's the trend. It's definitely... transferring over here now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And so as we start to wrap up, we all need to choose a rule of the game. So a bit of advice of something you try and live by in relationships.
I think for me, it's always having fun. I think one of the main first reasons why I gave my number to him was because I thought he was just fun. And I think that's carried throughout our relationship, that there are obviously hard times and we have a little baby girl now, and there's been some very hard times, some very sleepless nights, and still being able to laugh with each other, at each other even sometimes, and at yourself. And, you know, it can be some of the hardest days, but as long as you're still having fun and still have some humor in that relationship, I think that's, for me, that's one of the most important things. You know, it's not taking life too seriously and just, Owen can always find some way to make me laugh or, you know, keep things lighthearted and just to just keep the relationship happy. And we're always, I guess, bouncing things off each other. Or the other day, I've gotten to this new thing about I enjoy scaring him, or if I come into the house, I like to hide behind doors.
You actually got me going.
And I just, if I see that he's not in the room, I like to come into the house and then hide somewhere and then just jump out and scare the living shit out of him. So I think just keeping things exciting.
It made me realize that if someone actually did try and save you from just sort of like, I basically just froze. I thought I'd like to think that like, oh, I know I'd react by whatever, a quick punch or something, but I was gone. Crawled. Done.
Yeah, maybe for the best you didn't find out that that would be your reaction in this.
Yeah. You'd rather hire me then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, true.
God, I didn't think about this one, but communication is so important. Just if something's annoying you, I think you're just way better off to just get it off your chest straight away or fairly quickly, and let's just kind of clear the air and not let it fester, because it will come out in other ways if there's just something that's annoying you and you're just bottling it up. And even if you don't air it, like, it's just, I think it just sits there over time, and whether it's 6 months or 12 months, the next time you have an argument, if you haven't aired that previous grievance, whatever it may be, big or small, it'll probably add to the next argument. So if that's a pattern you get into, it can just lead to bigger issues down the line, where I think we're like, we fight, of course we fight,
we've learned to fight at times.
You know, but I think we definitely try and get over it pretty quickly, and mm-hmm. and you know, whether it's me going to Sam going, can we stop fighting now, and just like, then we'll say our piece calmly at that point, and we'll actually move on from it. And I'll do that. And you do that. It's not, I think it's really important that it's not the same person, you know, reaching out the olive branch all the time. If you're having an argument, if you're both frustrated for whatever reason, you know, for us it might be lack of sleep, or I'm doing more with Millie or whatever. If the grievance on both sides, and then if it's the same person that's reaching out the olive branch to kind of like diffuse the tension and get over the argument, I think that's a problem too. I think there has to be, you know, you have to be the bigger person, shall we say, at different times, and go, okay, done, let's move on. And I think that's important.
Yeah, definitely. Both showing up for, I'm here for this relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't want us to be fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And that not being just one person's job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, yeah. Because that's exhausting
if you're always the person kind of swallowing it.
Well, you feel like if the other person is just, you know, happy to live in that tension for longer, you know, that's not healthy either.
There's something in not allowing dating to become a chore. And part of that probably is exploring different avenues. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll often talk to people where there can be this illusion that dating apps are all there is. You know, that's the default way of meeting people now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. You know, you can ask around friends in your life and the listeners can. And we still meet people in all kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. And so if dating is becoming a chore, not only is that not fun, maybe the risk there is, oh, I guess this person. I lower my standards. I just mm-hmm. kind of choose somebody in front of me because mm-hmm. I'm sick and tired of this app or mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Yeah, so I had a really good chat with one of the guys that was there on Friday night, and just made a good point, which we've heard before as well. It's kind of a little bit less accepted now to just approach somebody randomly when you're out. It's just mm-hmm. it's not done as much as it was done, you know, 10 years ago. Definitely in my 20s, going out was, oh, you'd end up talking to random.
Well, that's what it was for a lot of people.
Yeah. Going out was to meet people. Whereas I think that definitely seems to have shifted. Phones obviously have played a huge role now as well. And you know, people staying in their own circle on the night out.
They just sometimes can come off as a bit unapproachable, mm. you know. And
yeah, it's true for both of you. If they aren't a bar by themselves, whatever, you know, you're probably going to be on your phone. We're all guilty of that. And someone on their phone is just that little bit less approachable. If you're not on your phone and you're actually making eye contact with somebody, because that's a big part of, you know, giving someone the kind of green light to come up and say hello to you. That's everybody's head is down in their phone so often these days. On a bus, anywhere. How are we supposed to make eye contact with somebody if your eyes are glued to the phone?
Yeah, either that or they're in the smoking area mainlining a vape. And so if people want to find the events, your friend, myfriend.ie?
Yes, yeah. So they can check out our website or just our Instagram always has updated events that we have going on. And we're always adding new events. And we're going to, next year, we're hopefully going to be in Cork, Galway and Limerick as well as Dublin.
Yeah. And I'd also say, you know, it's one thing to check out the Instagram, just to get an idea of where the venues are, what the events tend to look like, you know. Get a bit of that familiarity, I think, can be helpful. Yeah. All right, and we'll wrap up there then. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Cheers. Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damage by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.